It's hard to come up with new ways to convey the enormity of this COVID-19 outbreak, but here's one that people are trying. Yesterday, the U.S. recorded its deadliest day yet, more than 3,100 deaths, which is more than Japan has had in the entire pandemic. Well, but now there are vaccines on the horizon, there are treatments, and for now at least there are fewer deaths per infections. So let's take advantage once again of Ashish Jha, Dean of Brown University School of Public Health, to get as many questions as possible answered. Dr. Jha, Ashish, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me back on.
Yeah, and just context, you've agreed with other health officials we're headed into some tough times. As you put it, the summer's not going to bail us out this time as they did in the spring, as the summer did in the spring when it got people outside. We don't have that now. But you've also said you're hopeful. So with that mix, let's have a kind of a lightning round. When do you think the average person, not in a nursing home or a nurse on the front lines, the average person will get the two dose needed of a vaccine?
I think the average person probably can get started late March, early April, and probably finish their second dose about a month after that. So if things go well, late March, early April is what I'm hoping for.
Right. So wear your masks. But we're understanding that even when you get a vaccine, you will still have to wear masks for the foreseeable future. Why?
Well, I think the first set of folks who get it, certainly, because the level of virus in the community will still be high. You know, if I told you that you only have a 10% chance of getting an infection that can kill you, you may still choose to wear a mask. The issue becomes that once we have widespread vaccination, and let's say we get to 75, 80%, the virus will really get into very, very tiny numbers. And then I think in lots of different contexts, we can take our masks off. So mask wearing is not forever. It's really until we get widespread vaccination.
And tell us, the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines both create a little kind of Trojan horse that gets into cells and it tricks the body into creating immunity. So why should people who've already tested positive or been sick, had COVID-19, presumably have immunity? Why should they get a shot?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And we don't know how long natural immunity lasts. Now, obviously, we don't know how long vaccine-induced immunity lasts, though there's reasons to believe that vaccine-induced immunity is going to last potentially longer. And I think everybody should get vaccinated. You know, if you obviously got COVID and recovered very recently and you want to wait a little bit of time, I think that's pretty reasonable as well. But my general feeling is at this point, everybody should get vaccinated. When is their turn? Okay. Mostly because we just don't know how long natural immunity lasts.
Well, can you get COVID-19 from the shots?
Absolutely not. So none of the vaccines that are in late-stage trials in the United States use any version of the virus. There's no coronavirus in these vaccines. Both the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines just essentially use some bit of the genetic material wrapped in some protein. It's physically impossible to get COVID from these vaccines.
Oh, that's good. There's also an emergency authorization from the FDA for a new coronavirus antibody test that can gauge vaccine effectiveness. I mean, how much did it provide immunity? What is that? What do you think of that?
Yeah, you know, so there are going to be a lot of these efforts to try to really make sure that people got a response. The challenge here is it's hard to measure immunity. You can measure antibodies, but antibodies can go up, they can wane. If they wane, doesn't mean that you actually don't have immunity, because there's also another arm of immunity called T cells. So I think how to use tests like that and when to use them, for whom, what they mean, are still things we're going to be sorting out. My expectation is most people who get vaccinated will have meaningful immunity from this virus, from the vaccine.
Right. I want to talk for a minute about treatments, and you'd be forgiven for saying I'd rather not, because you got dragged into that Senate committee hearing on the discredited drug hydroxychloroquine that Senator Ron Johnson attacked you, saying there was some kind of deep state conspiracy that you were involved in to deny Americans this drug that was so touted by President Trump. There is not. But Ashish, early on in the pandemic, we spoke with reputable doctors, this is very early on, who said, yes, we are using it. So to be clear, is it thought it doesn't have the effect that it was said to have of preventing or curing COVID-19?
Yeah, so here's how the history of this has played out. Early on in late March, the president started touting hydroxychloroquine based on very little evidence. But there was a theoretical benefit. And most of us thought at that point, well, you know, look, we don't have very many treatments. People are obviously getting very, very sick. And so people started using hydroxychloroquine. And then we started studying it and started subjecting it to clinical trials. And I think that was completely the right thing to do, to try it out and to study it in clinical trials to see if it worked. And the early first set of studies said, okay, didn't really do anything in the inpatient setting when people were pretty sick. Next set of studies said it doesn't help prevent people from getting the disease. If you've been exposed, taking hydroxychloroquine doesn't help. And then there are several studies that show that even just as an outpatient therapy, it doesn't work. So at this point, they're all, you know, it's fine to start trying it. But once you've got the evidence in that it doesn't work, you ought to stop.
Why?
And there is a small group of folks out there who have been hydroxy boosters who are out there beating the drums on this and saying that the entire medical community is in cahoots to deny Americans hydroxychloroquine. And somehow they got to Senator Johnson and he held a hearing about it.
Yeah, and got to you. Look, let's talk about what does work. Remdesivir, does it shorten the length of an illness?
Yeah, so this is one where it's controversial. One big study from WHO shows that it doesn't. Another good study done through NIH shows that it does. My best read of the literature is that given early on, it probably does help shorten the duration of the illness, but you got to give it pretty early.
Okay, and what about the drug cocktail that was given to President Trump and people like Ben Carson? It's still experimental. It's a combination of steroids, remdesivir, and antibodies. They swear it saved their lives. Should it be available to everyone? Does it work?
Yeah, so let's talk about each of those. We talked about remdesivir. Dexamethasone, or the steroid, actually the evidence there is very good from large randomized trials. That's really for people with advanced disease and very good data that it definitely prevents death, saves lives. So severely ill patients should absolutely get that. The big one for both the president and Ben Carson, Governor Christie, was the antibodies. I've been very optimistic about antibody therapy. It does have to be given early. Now there's an emergency use authorization from the FDA for one of them. I think it's great. The problem with this is that there are just so few doses available that most Americans can't get them. And so we're really rationing it for the sickest people. But the ideal would be that this thing would be widely available and then anybody who got sick from COVID could get it. But we're not there yet.
Well, but we understand that this week Eli Lilly is going to pair with CVS in a pilot program in several cities that will treat patients with an antibody therapy. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's great. And again, I'm pretty enthusiastic about this antibody therapy. I think there is reasonably good evidence that if you give it early in the disease course, it makes a difference. The problem with these pilot programs is that they're small, and we have lots of people getting infected who could benefit, but only a small minority will get it.
Okay. Back to the vaccines. Are you concerned about distribution? We know states are going to rely on doctors' offices, pharmacies, health departments to do the vaccinating. The Kaiser Family Foundation says less than a third of states' plans have come up with the number of health providers to do this. Less than half of states have provided the number of people in priority populations, you know, those in nursing homes and on the front lines of healthcare to start. Concerned?
I am concerned. This is another area where you really need strong federal coordination, where there just has not been the kind of federal leadership that you need. And so we are going to need the federal government working very closely with states to sort all this stuff out. And I'm worried about patchy implementation, where some states are going to be terrific and get it done, and other states are going to struggle. And again, this is why federal government, federal leadership matters so much.
We have a half a minute. What do you want to say to people as we head into this dark season?
What I want to say to people is the next 6 to 8 weeks are going to be the worst weeks of the pandemic, but then the light at the end of the tunnel is getting brighter and brighter. And so what people need to do is hold on, because anybody who gets infected now, that is somebody who could have gotten a vaccine in 2 or 3 months. So please do the basic public health stuff. Wear a mask. Avoid getting together with people outside your household. And let's get through this. 2021 will be so much better.
Oh, it's right around the corner. Ashish Jha, Dean of the School of Public Health at Brown University. Dr. Jha, Ashish, thanks as always.
Thank you so much for having me back.